Take your Bible and turn to John chapter 9. John chapter number 9. John chapter number 9. Once you find it, find verse number 1. And after you found John chapter 9, verse number 1, I would like for you to stand with me out of reverence to the Word of God. John chapter 9. While you're standing and turning, young people, let me remind you, I want you to behave yourself. Pay close attention. Do not interrupt the church service. John chapter 9, starting with verse number 1, it says, "And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth, and his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work." Look back at me, if you will. Notice about four or five times in that passage of Scripture, there's a word used. It's the word work. Work is a good word. Work, and Jesus here is emphasizing work. And he's not just emphasizing it to you and I. He said, "I've got work to do." Hey, folks, we can be glad. God's busy. Amen. Jesus is a worker. God is a worker. You want to be like God, you've got to work. God is busy running a universe. You say, but it's no effort to him. You don't know. You don't know what it takes to run the universe. God may make it look simple, but I'll guarantee you, our God promotes this thing called work. Let me pray for us. Father, bless us today in a day and age, in a culture where the work is almost a cuss word, a four-letter word, a negative. Might we see scripturally that that's not true? Help us, Lord, to be hard-working Christian people, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat there. I'm going to refer to a couple of other verses, if I could. I'm going to read to you from Proverbs chapter 31, verse 13. The Bible says this, speaking of a lady, "She seeketh wool and flax, and worketh willingly with her hands." Here God's talking about a lady working and working willingly. And then the Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 21, verse number 8, it says this. It says, "The way of man is froward and strange, but as for the pure, his work is right." Work is a right thing. I got to thinking about this thing called work as I was preparing for today. And I'm glad I grew up in a home where my parents taught me that work is good and that work is right. I have no remorse. Now, there were times when I was growing up in that home, I wasn't real delighted about it, but I'm glad that I did. Did you know that the word work in one form or another is found in the Bible 855 times? That means God has an interest in this thing called work. Someone has said, the harder I work, the luckier I get. You ever heard that old saying? The harder I work, the luckier I get. You understand, it has nothing to do with luck then. It's just that thing called hard work. Our society, it's changed. You find people that understand how to work less and less. Folks, in our homes, we ought to be training our children. They need to learn how to work. It's a sad day and age when young people go out and get their first job and the boss is so disappointed because you can't find young people that know how to work. There ought to be. Hey, that doesn't mean that the young person has to understand everything that has to be done at work, but they've got to have a spirit of work and they've got to have a desire to work. Work is a good thing. You know, did you know that the telephone started out as a telegraph that started out as a tool? And there's a tool that's turned into a toy. I was thinking about a horse. A horse started out, it was a tool. It was like your tractor. And now that tool in America, in most parts of America, it's just a toy. It's just something you play with. You hear about the blonde and her very first horseback riding experience. A blonde decides to learn and try horseback riding unassisted without prior experience or lessons. She mounts the horse with great effort, and the tall, shiny horse springs into motion. It gallops along at a steady and rhythmic pace, but the blonde begins to slip from the saddle. Out of sheer terror, she grabs for the horse's mane, but cannot seem to get a firm grip. She tries to throw her arms around the horse's neck, but she slides down the side of the horse anyway. The horse gallops along, seemingly oblivious to the slipping rider. Finally, giving up her frail grip, she leaps away from the horse to try to throw herself to safety. Unfortunately, her foot has become entangled in the stirrup. She's now at the mercy of the horse's pounding hooves as her head is struck against the ground again and again. As her head is battered against the ground, she is mere moments away from unconsciousness or even death when Frank, the Walmart manager, runs out and shuts off the horse and says, "Don't put another quarter in that thing, lady." But you know, honestly, in America, they used to use a horse as a tool. And to America now, and I understand the development of our culture, but now it's basically a toy. The telephone started as a tool, and now it's a toy. I'm glad, again, in growing up, I remember when I got my first lawnmower from my parents. It was plastic. It was red and yellow. And it was real little dude and had some sort of little mechanism. When I'd push it, it'd go, you know, something was flipping in there. My dad was pushing the big mower, and I was right behind him with my little plastic mower. I had no idea the deception in that as a child. Do you understand what was on the horizon? It wasn't long till we traded. I was pushing the big one, and my dad was pushing the little one, just all smiles. Folks, whatever you do, don't let the weakening of our culture cause you to lose track of the scriptural and the biblical nature and the positive thing called work. It's a good thing. Work is good. Sometimes I think that we lose track. We get so caught up in what everybody else's opinion of something is. I want to remind you the greatest opinion is God's opinion, and the rest are really not all that important. Work is in the Bible. It's taught in the Bible. Work is a spiritual thing. The Bible says in Proverbs 13:4, "The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat." That it says the soul of the diligent. In other words, the one who works hard. When the Bible talks about fatness, it's not talking about plumpness of belly. It's talking about it's a fulfilling thing. It's the soul of the diligent shall be made fat, meaning there's prosperity in it. And that little saying where I told you earlier, you know, we say the harder I work, the luckier I get. You know, there are people out there actually that say, well, if I had all the breaks you have in life, maybe I'd succeed more. No, the honest, simple truth is if you get up early in the morning and work hard and sweat and toil and do what you ought to do, that you would get to experience some of that success. But work is spiritual. It's a big thing. And folks, don't ever get the idea that work and the Bible are in separate categories or are in separate arenas in the Bible. No, as a Christian, you're to work. And you're to work hard. You really want to know, and we have a new president in our country, and there are all speculations about what will happen to our economy and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I'll just tell you one thing. What our economy needs a good old-fashioned dose of is just hard work. If people wake up in the morning and go to work, and a boss would get 8 hours work out of 8 hours pay, we could turn the economy of our country around. But there's a laziness. There is a lethargy among people. But folks, work is spiritual. And you say, well, I carry my Bible everywhere I go, and I go to church on Sunday. Well, I'm glad that you do, but I want you to understand something. If you want to be a good Christian, you need to get up on Monday morning and go to work. You need to work hard on Tuesday and on Wednesday and on Thursday, and you young people that live in a home, and mom and dad are trying to get you to work hard, you ought to thank God you have a mom and dad like that. Amen. They're helping you to become a good Christian. They're helping you to become a good American. We're to work. Work is spiritual. And it is work that brings success. You see, the word work implies to be productive. It implies to achieve. And folks, we need to achieve. We need to be productive in life. And again, might I say to everybody that's a member of the Twin Rivers Baptist Church, if you really want to be a good representative of your church and a good representative of God and a good representative of the Bible, be productive. Be productive. It's not a matter of you go to work and you put in your time. Fooey on that. You're not to put in your time. You're to get the work done during that time. They say in our workforce today in America that a boss is lucky if he can get 5 hours of work out of 8 hours of pay. And that's on the high end of things. And you say, why? Well, part of it's probably that thing that I mentioned earlier. The phone is turned into a toy. I'd be a terrible boss in this culture. Everybody want to be on their phones all the time. That'd be ruled out pretty quickly around me. You say, why? You're to work for me, not to play on your telephone while you're at work. But work is going to bring success. It's supposed to bring success. So work is a spiritual thing, and work is going to bring success in your life. Not only that, I think the Bible teaches pretty clearly that the worker should do what needs to be done. In Proverbs chapter 24, verse number 31, I'll read it to you. There's a setting that is being explained here. It says, and lo, it was all grown up with thorns and nettles, and they had overcome the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. And what this is talking about, there's a teaching there in Proverbs 34. There was a piece of ground, and basically a business was on that piece of ground, but it had begun to deteriorate, and the weeds had grown up, and the business happened to be, I think it was an arbor or someplace where they were growing grapes, but the weeds had grown up, and the fences had fallen apart. And the whole teaching there in that passage of Scripture in Proverbs 24, it was talking about getting the work done, making sure the work gets done. And I go back to the thought that, folks, when you go to work, I think getting paid by the hour is a wonderful thing. But I have to tell you, man, give the boss an hour's worth of work. Get the job done. In my Sunday school class earlier today, I was talking about how when I was young, I went to work at a place called Tipple's Ace Hardware. I was 15 years of age. I made $3.35 an hour or something like that. And I would get out of school at 3. I'd ride my bike up to the Ace Hardware. By 3:30, the Ace Hardware was open till 5:30. I'd get 2 hours in 5 days a week. I was so glad that Mr. Tipple was willing to hire me. And I wanted to work hard. I wanted to get the job done. Boy, did I get lectures from my dad. My dad would say to me before I go into work, he said, don't be watching the clock all the time. Don't be watching the clock all the time. Don't be watching the clock all the time. And I asked him one day, I said, what am I supposed to watch? He said, watch your productivity. Push yourself. Get the job done. He said, and don't let the people around you determine how hard you work. You work hard. You know what's sad? I say things like this, and I have people come to me and say, you know what, Pastor, if I work hard at work, I have people mad at me. I guess they're just going to have to stay mad, aren't they? Because you owe it to your God to work hard. See, folks, work is spiritual. And work brings success. And work, we're to do what needs to be done. And in this case, there was a business in Bible days, and it had begun to deteriorate a little bit. And God was saying, work at that thing. Work at it. Clean it up. Put it all back together and get the job done. Listen, you know, there was someone that got in trouble on the news just a few days ago because of 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse number 10, where it says, for even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. Now, we had a congressman or somebody that quoted that scripture, and it was all over the national news. You say, what do you feel about that? I feel like God's always right and man's wrong, and it's time for us to start working again. You know, if there's somebody that's ill and there's somebody that can't work and there's somebody that really can't, let's take care of them and let's love on them and feed them. But you know, it's not right that a bunch of lazy rascals just want to lay around and let somebody else take care of them. We're supposed to work. Parents, teach your kids to work. There's nothing wrong with that. They need to learn to work. But the Bible says that work is a spiritual thing, and the Bible teaches that work brings success. The Bible teaches us that we need to do whatever needs to be done and get the work done. And the Bible teaches us that look, folks, God said, "I'll reward you and we'll put food on your plate if you'll work." If you'll work. One of the greatest things that you and I can do for our society is to teach our children to be contributors to society and work hard. And hey, they ought to be working at paying their way. And if you say, "Well, I can't pay my way," well, pay whatever part of your way that you can. That's a part of responsibility of life. But we ought to be working hard, and we ought to be hard workers. You know, I don't know what our church's reputation would ever be in the community, but I can tell you one thing. I would like everywhere that we have people employed, I would like the employers to say, "I'll tell you what, those people out there at the Twin Rivers Baptist Church, they work hard. They do what the boss says. They show up." And let me tell you something, folks. Part of working and working the right way is to show up on time. If you're late all the time, you just need to get out of bed a few extra minutes and you be on time. You say, "Well, you know, we're not considered late at where I work until, you know, 5 minutes after the hour." That's a grace period for knuckleheads, buddy. You're supposed to be there, and you're supposed to be there on time. Now, I understand emergencies, and I understand that every once in a while, maybe you'll run behind. But look, those of you that run behind every day with everything, you just have a character issue. You need to suck it up and face it. And you say, "Well, it was an emergency." Emergency is not that you didn't hit 10 green lights in a row like you've got it monitored out so you can pull in at the very last second and put your time card in the clock, click right before it turns to 8 o'clock in the morning. Be on time. Be on time. It's a part of work. It's a part of what God would have a Christian do. You know that God's never been late for anything? God's always on time. We talk about Jesus Christ coming again, and people say, "Well, if the Lord delays..." Let me tell you something. He knows when He's coming, and He's going to come on time. He's not going to be a moment late. He won't be He's going to do what He's supposed to do. But that's what a worker is, and that's who a worker is. And I believe that work is... There are scriptural guidelines for work taught in the Bible. You know, Proverbs chapter 6, verse number 7 tells us that as Christians, we should learn how to work without having someone to look over our shoulder all the time we're at work. The Bible says in Proverbs 6:7, "Which having no guide, overseer, or ruler," it's talking here about the ant. And God compliments the ant. And He said, "Did you know that that ant doesn't have to have someone looking over their shoulder while they work? You have your brain's bigger than an ant's, right?" Let me tell you, today I have done just enough supervising in the secular arena. It's been my privilege now. I've been working in churches for a long, long time, but I managed for a little while in the secular arena. Tell you something, today, as a boss, you take your eyes off of people long enough, and they're just standing around with their finger up their nose. Let me remind you of something. May I remind you that if the boss is off the property, God is not. And your God is watching you, and when you're at work, you're to work, and the boss shouldn't have to be concerned 24/7 whether they're going to get out of you what they're supposed to get out of you. You're supposed to be working. And you do it because it's right to do. And so, here it's talking about there's no ruler or overseer on that ant, but he's busy getting the job done. Again, when I worked in a machine shop, I was a tool and die maker for a little while. And one day I had a chance to win to Jesus Christ one of the other machinists in the shop. It was lunchtime. I won him to Jesus Christ. He asked me, he said, "Jeff," he said, why are you so aggressive with your work?" I said, "Because I believe that although I have a human boss, I've got a bigger boss than that, and my boss is God. God told me to work hard, and God is always watching me." He said, "I've never heard anybody say anything like that before." He said, I just haven't. I said, well, you've asked Jesus to come into your heart and be your Savior. You need to act like a Christian. And I said, I don't think the boss ought to have to stand over your shoulder to get you to work. Well, all of a sudden, you watch this guy on this second machine. He started picking up his pace. And he started working hard. And I thought, boy, isn't that incredible? He's realized that God is watching him. My boss, the owner, he came out and he said, I'd like to talk to you in my office. I thought, oh, great, I hate these conversations. I'd like to talk to you in my office. Yes, sir. We went in. He said, sit down. I said, yes, sir. He said, so-and-so's productivity has picked up incredibly. Somebody told me you had a talk with him about it. What have you been up to? He said, what did you tell him? And I didn't know how to word this, and it didn't come out right. I said, well, I told him his real boss is not you. His eyes got real big. I said, I told him his real boss is God, and when you're not here, he's to work because God's watching. And you know what? You know what the owner said? Just keep telling him that. Just keep telling him that. We all may think that we're getting away with it when the boss has his back turned. And young people, you may think you're getting away with it when mom and dad are not watching. But I've got news for you. There's an almighty God that sees it all. There's an almighty God that knows if you and I are what we're supposed to be and doing what we're supposed to do. And we are where we're supposed to be. And we're intimidated and we think the human race is in charge. But we're not. God's in charge. You ought to be a hard worker, whether everybody else wants to be a hard worker or not. You ought to show up on time, whether it's required or not. You ought to do what you're supposed to do, when you're supposed to do it, how you're supposed to do it, with all your energy. Hey, when was the last time you came home from work tired? When was the last time you sweat? Or ladies, when was the last time you glistened? Work is spiritual. Work is the way God would have it. Work is the way that God wants it. And listen, I know I've got a lot of entrepreneurs here in my church. I have a lot of business owners. I look around, I see all sorts of really dumb-looking people. I want to challenge you, even those of you that own your own businesses, and there are many of you, let me tell you something, work hard. Work hard, keep going. Your God's watching. You want to succeed. I've young businessmen come to me and say, well, Pastor, what's it take to make it out there? Well, I'll tell you what. You get up early. You work hard. You put your heart into it. And you run hard. And hey, look, God will get in there and God will help you, but God is not going to do for you what you could do for yourself. And too many of us have sold out early when we should have stayed up late. But work. It's part of what God does. I have young pastors that come to me and they say, Brother Owens, what's the key? What's the key to a church? What's the key to having a church to grow and to succeed? Well, whether they like it or not, you know what they'd like? They'd like it to be this real, weird, simple, spiritual thing. You go to your office. You drink green tea. You talk to God, and He does it all. Well, you may have to come out of your office and get up early and stay up late and organize and work. Hey, let me tell you something. I'm not trying to cast shadow on prayer. When's the last time you prayed for 2 hours? And let's find out how much mind control and how much body control you can exercise by staying on your face for 2 hours asking God to bless your church. The average person cannot do that. You can't pray for 10 minutes. You got to check your phone and check your text and check your email and check the news and check your coffee. There's work to prayer. I'm going to tell you, you'll not get anywhere sitting on your rocking horse at do nothing, whether it's spiritual or it's secular. If you want to succeed in life, you're going to have to work at it. That's just all there is to it. And I'll tell you something. Even if you could succeed without work, work is still right because God said to do it. Say, I've got all I need. Well, then you're going to have to be obedient to God to work anyway. Because God never said coast through life. He said work. He said work. My dad, I thank God for my dad, but boy, I've got sayings in my brain that won't leave. I can remember when my dad was trying to help me to get a job at his shop. And I was getting ready to interview with his boss. And we were in the office, and my dad was introducing me to the boss. And I remember my dad embarrassed me. There's his secretary there. I stand there with my hands in my pockets. My dad came over and yanked my hands out of my pockets and said, "Hands in pockets, lazy man. Don't put your hands back in your pockets. Get your hands out there, get ready to work. Let him see you've got hands to work." I'm thinking, well, what's the big deal? Hands in my pockets. Now, I don't want the job. I don't want to work anywhere. But I've never forgotten that. Just never forgotten it. Get this. When I grew up, I had church clothes, I had play clothes, and I had work clothes. You know what kids today have? Church clothes and play clothes. Church clothes and play clothes. Want to know why America's falling apart? Probably church clothes and play clothes. Well, hardly any church clothes anymore either. That's play clothes. That's play clothes. You know what happens? You want to become a casualty in your Christianity? Just become so casual, laid back. You become a casualty. You know, that's where the word casualty comes from, right? It is becoming casual to the point where you drop your guard. Work is spiritual. Spiritual. Work is in the Bible. God teaches work. Oh, you know, I stumbled onto something and I just loved it. I'm going to read to you. Did you know that Jesus was a hard worker? Listen to this verse. In John chapter 21, verse number 25, the Bible says this. This is speaking of Jesus. It says, "And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the book that should be written." You know, the Bible says that Jesus was so busy, so productive, working so hard, that if they wrote down everything he was busy doing, the world couldn't even contain the books to log his productivity. Well, that's powerful. You want to be like Jesus? You say, "Well, I want to be like Jesus." And you think that is that you're going to be soft-spoken, and you're going to love everybody. And you know what? I think Jesus loved everybody. I think Jesus, there were times when he talked very, very gently and very, very kindly. If you really want to be like Jesus, you'll have to work. You will have to work. That's pretty heavy-duty productivity, wouldn't you think? When someone could work so much that there would be no way you could even write down everything they accomplished in the day. We used to have to fill out a time card. And we would have to fill out a report of what we accomplished. I don't know if anything that you accomplish gets logged, but if you can only write one word down in the day, you might want to make it so you got a little bit more than that done. But they said the book that they had to write down what Jesus accomplished in a day, it was massive. They have to write and write and write. And he's constantly working. Jesus was a worker. John chapter 4, verse number 34, the Bible says this. Jesus saith, he came. Let me give you the words. It says, he came to finish his work. You all remember when Jesus was on the cross and he used those words? It is what? Finished. We need to learn to start our work and finish our work. Start and finish. Finish what you start. Then basic concepts of work. Show up on time. Work hard. Do what the boss says. Start the job. Finish the job. I realize there are other theological topics that I could have preached on today, but maybe not one as important as Christians just realizing work is a spiritual thing. When you're at work, learn to clean up after yourself. Make a mess, clean up. You know, somebody has to follow after you. Somebody has to follow after you. Work hard. Jesus worked so hard that the world could not contain the books about what he accomplished. He finished the work that he was given to do. And so, if I may, I want to take a moment and just make mention, we have way too many people that are quitters today. Don't be a quitter. Don't quit on Jesus. Don't quit. Hang in there. You say, well, what the boss gave me to do. It's hard. Well, I just like to cry with you for a little while, but I'm not going to. You ought to be glad there's some things that are hard. You want to spend your whole life doing everything that's easy? The hardship of life will toughen you up. The hardship of life will help you to succeed. Tell me something. Did Jesus do the hard thing? Now, Jesus was a man just like us. You understand, when they nailed him to that cross, he did have it as his availability, 10,000 angels. In other words, he could have taken them all out at one time. He did the hard thing. When he finished the job that God had given him to do, when he hung on that cross and everything that they did to him, and he said, I've finished what I started. It was a hard job. Do the hard thing. I happen to believe if your boss gives you something hard, it's probably a compliment. They mean they think that you have what it takes to do the hard thing. Jesus was a hard worker. Jesus finished his work. And Jesus said, he used these words in John 5:17. He said, I must work the works. Jesus said, I've got to work. It's a must. It's a mandate that's been placed upon me. Now, folks, I don't want you to miss this. Today, you know, it seems as if I'm alluding to what you do on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, or Saturday if you work on a Saturday. Let me tell you something, folks. You and I, we're to be working for Jesus, too. We're to be getting something done for God, too. Those of you that have a Sunday school class around here, work at it. Those of you that have a bus route where you go out and pick up folks that maybe couldn't get to church any other way, work at it. Those of you that help with the custodial crew or the grounds crew, work at it. Work at it. Work at it. Work for God. Get something done for God. Accomplish something for God. Give yourself to it. Hey, and while I'm at it, be on time. Don't you be the one that walks into church every time you turn around late. You say, well, what's the big deal? I think you ought to just be on time. It's a reflection on your character. Be on time. Do what you're supposed to do. Be where you're supposed to be. It's a part of what a Christian is. Did you know our culture is different? And I realize that. You know, the Bible teaches in Luke chapter 13, verse number 14, that there are 6 days in which men ought to work. Now, America says 40 hours a week, 5 days a week, 8 to 5, 30-minute lunch break, 10-minute coffee break, 10-minute afternoon break. That's nowhere in the Bible. So that's what I demand. That's not what God demands. I know you're smarter than Him. But let me tell you something. I'll recommend something. You work hard 5 days a week for your boss at work. I would recommend you probably ought to use your Saturday to get some things done around the house. That's just the way it is. So I don't like that. Well, it's how everybody does it. Life is not lay around all the time. Young people, you young ladies, you're growing up, you look around the church, you'd like to find a decent man. I asked Mrs. Owens, I think yesterday, I said, honey, tell me a couple of the qualities, just top qualities that a young lady ought to be watching for as she looks for a young man for her future. She said, well, you got to love God, love Jesus. And then she said, he better be a hard worker. Girls, could I recommend something to you? I wouldn't marry me a pretty boy. Be careful now. He won't be there for you. You have to support him. He said, but I like the way he combs his hair. It's going to fall out, honey. I'm looking for somebody tall, dark, and handsome. And yeah, and they end up short, fat, and bald. Yeah, yeah. I wouldn't have looked back there, but he's back there saying, yeah, that's right, that's right. You young men, you want to find the right kind of young lady? You say, I'll tell you what, Brother Owens, there's this girl, and she's beautiful. Well, I'm glad. There ain't no man that when he was young said, I think I'll marry me an ugly woman. But let me tell you something, young man. You want to find the right kind of a young lady. You find somebody that loves the Lord, that will obey the Bible, but you better find somebody that will work hard. Work hard. You say, why? Well, your house is a mess and everything's a mess. You won't like it. You say, but she's a beauty queen. She's going to take half that stuff off and put it in a little bag. She painted on it, comes off. You don't even know what color her hair really is. But you can't fake work. And all that stuff, you know, the tall, dark, and handsome beauty queen, that all changes through the years. It shifts, moves around. But somebody's character makes a difference, all the difference in the world. It's not what you look like, it's what you are. And I'm not minimizing the importance of cleanliness. I think you ought to brush your teeth once a week whether they need it or not. I think work is a great testimony. Jesus said in John 14:11, He said, believe me for the very work's sake. Folks, I will promise you something. You say, Pastor, I'm not real good with the Bible. And Pastor, I'm not real good with talking with people. Pastor, I want to reach people. Let me promise you something. If you work hard, there is a testimony in hard work. There's a testimony in hard work. There's just something about it. It's a good thing. I'm finished, but let me tell you something. I think we're to work hard. I think children are to be taught appropriately how to work. Moms, I don't think you're supposed to do everything for your kids. I think they need to be taught to do certain things for themselves. Teenagers, the word mom is not the word slave in the Greek language. You're to pick up after yourself. You're to attend to yourself. Honestly, teenagers, I think you ought to be serving your mom and dad in your home. That's what I think you ought to be doing. It shouldn't be mom and dad having to serve you. We're to work hard. Children to work hard. They're to learn to work at their level. Teenagers are to learn to work and work hard at their level. Adults are to work and work hard. Hey, I want to recommend that some of you that are senior citizens, and I don't think we have any here, but in the case that one came in that I didn't notice, senior citizen, I want to give you a piece of advice. Don't stop working. You look forward to retirement. Retirement, if you're not careful, will put you in an early grave. I'm for you to retire. I mean, you work hard and you want that day when you're not pressed into the 40-hour work week. But let me tell you, don't shut down altogether. Keep moving. Keep working. Keep walking. Hey, you may not be able to give what you once could give, but you better give what you can because you want those arms and legs to keep moving. You want that heart to stay strong. One of the ways that that can be accomplished is through work. And I'm not saying you got to go out and earn an income. I'm not saying any of that. But work, you know, you could even come around the church. We could give you things to do to keep you active. I've watched many a person that was as healthy as they could be retire and almost go into a total lazy mode. And I think they died prematurely because of it. Because their body just began to shut down. Keep moving forward. I hate to burst your bubble. But did you know that when we get to heaven, we are not all going to stand around and sing Kumbaya? When we get to heaven, there will be a work to be done. You say, I just don't like work. Well, you're going to be miserable up there. No, when we get to heaven, we'll be busy. You say, doing what? Serving Him. It will be working in eternity. Now, there'll be no Band-Aids in heaven or no need for the nurse, and you don't have to fill out a form because you got a splinter at work. It's not going to be like that, but we are going to be busy in eternity serving God. You say, what is that? It's work. Work's not a bad thing. Work's good. I'm finished. You cannot succeed unless you learn to work. But might I tell you this? Jesus Christ did the work to make a thing called salvation available to you. You don't work your way to heaven. You trust Jesus as your Savior to get to heaven. He did the work for that. That's a gift. But from that point on in the Christian life, we work. We work. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I wish you would. He did the work to make salvation available. He was born of a virgin. He lived 33 and a half sinless years. He went to the cross. He died on the cross. He arose from the grave to give you a free salvation. Everything else we pay for. He paid for your salvation. You say, why? You didn't have what it took to pay for it. He did. He paid so you could have salvation as a free gift. And then he said, after you get saved, I want you to get busy. Serve me. If you're here and you're not saved, we welcome you to the Savior. If you're here and you are saved, may I challenge you today to realize work is spiritual. Work is biblical. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. The first question is this. Are you a born-again Christian? Is there somebody here that would say, Pastor, I'm not saved. Pray for me. I don't know if I died today, I'd go to heaven. Pray for me. I won't come to you. I will not embarrass you. But you would raise your hand and say, Pastor, pray for me. I'm not saved. Good, I see a hand. Somebody else, you say, I'm not saved. If I died today, I don't know I'd go to heaven. I want to go, but I don't know that I would. I need Jesus. How many of you then would say, Pastor, I am saved. I'm not ashamed of it. I've asked Jesus into my heart. If I die today, I'd go to heaven, and I know it. Would you raise your hand and let God see it and say, I'm saved. I've trusted Jesus. God bless you. You may put those hands down. One other question. We'll start the invitation. Who here would say, Preacher, thank you for reminding me what the Bible says about work, the work ethic. Thank you. I have been challenged today. I have been stirred today. I want to work the way God would have me to work. Who here would say, I've been challenged. I want to be a better Christian in the area of work in my life. Would you raise your hand and let God see it and say, I want to work hard. God bless you. You may put those hands down. Here's what's going to happen. In a second, I'll signal the pianist. She'll begin to play. After she begins to play, we're going to stand. If you just remain still, let's not begin to talk. If you need the altar, maybe some of you have been a little lazy at work. Maybe some of you haven't been giving yourself. Maybe you ought to come to the altar. And honestly, I didn't preach against going out and doing drugs or robbing banks today. I told you about work, but you might need to walk the aisle, get on your knees and say, God, forgive me. I cheated my boss. God, forgive me. I'm not working hard. I'm not doing what I ought. Maybe you need to come. If you need to be saved, you come. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be born again. So the works that Jesus did have paid for your salvation. You could leave here saved and probably with the potential of being a better employee because you have Jesus in your heart, the great worker of miracles. The pianist begins to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you need a moment at the altar, you come. Young person, do you need to come to the altar? Mom and dad are trying to get you to do right at home and work hard, but that doesn't interest you. You're very ungrateful for what mom and dad are trying to teach you. Are you a laborer at work? Hey, maybe you're a business owner and you need to kick it in gear. You know what some of you need to hear? There's some of you, you own your business, it's relatively successful. Don't lose your drive. Don't lose your drive. There are still mountains that need to be climbed. There is still territory that needs to be conquered. Hey, if you're alive, keep moving forward. The sky's the limit, especially if you're a Christian businessman. Let's not let the world achieve and the Christians be lazy. If you need the altar, you come. It won't be long. We'll be on our way. Teenager, do you need the altar? Are you upset because mom and dad give you chores? Have you ever even heard the word chores? The tools of the last generation have become the toys of this one. Sarah, one more time through the song, if you will. Just one more. The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. That's prosperity. Prosperity. Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me. I must work the works. Not just do work, but work it. Push it. Produce. Make something happen. God bless you, folks. Have a seat real quick. If I call your name, it means you've made some type of a decision for the Lord, and we're going to help you to make that public. Michael Hart. Michael, which one of you are Michael? Michael? There you go. Don't be shy, partner. He is trusting Jesus as his Savior today. That's good. Which means the other guy must be Gabriel. Great. Are you Gabriel? Okay, Gabriel, stand up there. I'm going to take it. These are the Hart brothers, and they both have asked Jesus to come into their heart and save them today. That's very, very exciting. And there may be others. The other children's church, they it was full. I promise you, children's church workers today, they were working. I stuck my head in there, and there were kids everywhere in both services. I grew up. And I'm glad that my dad and my mom kept teaching me the importance of work. Work's not a cuss word. It's not a dirty four-letter word. People joke about that. No, it's a clean word. It's a good thing. You know, you all have heard me say this before. You ought to thank God you have a job. If you live in America, thank God you have a job. And before you go to work and you're critical of your boss, here's what I tell everybody. If you've got it together so much, you go out and you get you $300,000-$500,000, you build you a building, you get you a product, you buy the equipment, and then you call all the shots, you pay all the paychecks, you pay all the insurance, you just show us how it's done. Until then, I just go to work, keep the mouth shut, and work hard. Well, people give all, you know, until you're the leader, you don't understand the kind of criticisms and the gripes and the complaints and the lack of gratitude that you face. And if you're such a hot rod, why don't you just show us how it's done? I'm going to come work for you because you're going to pay me big bucks. I don't have to work. Everything's going to be smooth all the time. There's going to be free coffee and donuts every day. My bonus is going to be out. I just see it coming because I know how you're going to take care of me. How many of you want to work there? Yeah. So cut you off a chunk and just show us how it's done. But let me show you, it's not as easy as what you might think. You just ought to be thankful you have a job.